Rainmaker FM is brought to you by Digital Commerce Institute. Do you want to build the business of your dreams without squandering time and money, stumbling around to find the right path, or making unnecessary mistakes? The market is ready and waiting for you, but that doesn't mean it's gotten any easier. Digital Commerce Institute is here to change that. Go to digitalcommerce.com and get the training, education, and community you need to start building your digital business the right way. That's digitalcommerce.com.
This is The Missing Link with your host, the insufferable, but never boring, Sean Jackson.
Welcome to The Missing Link, everyone. I'm your host, Sean Jackson, and I'm joined, as always, by the concordant Micah Gadea. Micah, how are you?
I am great. I can't wait to find out how I am.
I am fantastic as always. And we are going to continue on with the second part of our journey with AJ Wilcox to talk about sponsored updates in LinkedIn. Yep. If you are tuning in for the first time, we had a previous episode where we started with AJ on the mechanics of setting up the sponsored update, which is the paid native advertising feature inside of LinkedIn. And so now we're going to continue that journey to go through the second half of that. We had to kind of cut him off. There was so much information. I was like, AJ, be quiet. I need to get you to a second part. So we're going to do that on this episode, and we are going to discuss in detail the pricing mechanics of this episode. So you will want to listen through because we talk a lot about the difference between CPC, cost per click, CPM, cost per impression, and you will want to listen through to that. But first, however, Micah,
yes,
we always ask our audience to participate in the show. And what is the way we'd like them to participate for this particular episode?
Well, this time we want you guys to all log into iTunes and leave us a review if you like what you're hearing and you feel like you're getting value from our podcast and from our group.
Absolutely. The audience drives the show. You drive the content. And by going into iTunes and giving us that feedback, we can better take the show in the direction that you would like it to go. So take a moment to do that. And when we come back from the break, we're going right into part two of our interview with AJ Wilcox on LinkedIn Sponsored Update. So stay tuned.
The Missing Link is brought to you by the Rainmaker Platform, the complete website solution for content marketers and online entrepreneurs. Find out more and take a free 14-day test drive at rainmaker.fm/platform.
Welcome back from the break, everyone. And as promised, we are continuing our conversation with AJ Wilcox on how to create up powerful sponsored updates using the sponsored update feature inside of LinkedIn. All right, so AJ, in part one, we went through kind of all the basics, the prep work. We talked about how to start the campaign off, about the title. We talked about skill sets, about some of the options in there. So for those who are picking this up, we are now completed the targeting page, okay? And now we're going on to the next part, which is the pricing. So AJ, talk to us about pricing.
We're building this campaign around lawyers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, and we're going to be selling them writing services. This is our faux example we came up with. So after we've defined that, the next screen on LinkedIn is asking about how we're going to spend our money. So we have options here like, how are you going to pay? Are you going to pay by the click or by the impression? And we'll talk, you know, really what that entails because there are very, very specific things that should cause you to do one or the other.
Okay. Let's go through that because this is the meat of where I'm trying to get my head around. Because again, as I am the client that knows everything. So I look at this and I'm going to tell you my very, very first impression on this screen. LinkedIn is way too damn expensive. You know, that's the very first impression because I'm looking at a minimum bid of $2.50. I'm looking at a suggested bid of $5 for a click, right? I'm looking at a cost per impression at a minimum of 10, a suggested of 25. I mean, that just seems expensive to me. And again, because I'm the client that knows everything, which means I know nothing, I'm sitting there trying to figure out, should I be picking cost per click, cost per impression, which is what CPM is. Talk to me a little bit about, because again, let's assume for this conversation, we're creating up a test budget. We've got a $1,000 test budget, let's say, okay? Or $500, it doesn't really matter. Talk to me about those two differences, because it seems god-awful expensive. And I will tell you, my preference right now is to go for impressions and not clicks.
Okay, very, very good questions here. So very first off, the whole idea about whether you're going to pay for the click or pay for the impression is really talking about where the risk is landing. So for you as an advertiser, when you're paying only if someone clicks, that's putting all of the onus on LinkedIn's ad platform. You're saying, I'm going to put this out there, and if no one interacts with it, if I create a terrible ad that no one wants to click, sorry, LinkedIn, you're out. I'm not going to pay anything. My bad. Whereas if you're doing cost per impression, you're putting the onus on yourself. You're saying, if I don't create an ad that gets clicked on, I'm going to end up with no traffic, but I'm still going to pay money because there are still going to be impressions out there that I'm going to be paying for. So that's the way I look at it. When I see CPC versus CPM, I think, where do I want that risk? Where am I comfortable with that?
All right. Let's, because I want to walk through this. I think there's a, you know, if I'm testing, all right, and that's why I use a $500, you know, let's say $1,000 total test budget, I would probably be more inclined to spend $500 on a CPC and $500 on a CPM, which is why when the part one, when we talked about the campaign title, why it's kind of important, I would probably say, I want to run two different campaigns to test the click and I'm going to test the impression. Pretty much setting my budget at $500 for each to see what is resonating back on that landing page. What do you say?
I would say you don't even need to do that.
Oh.
You can actually change this on the fly at any given time. So if today you're running at CPC and you decide for some reason that you want to run by impression, you can change that tomorrow and have it take effect. So don't feel like this is written in stone. These are not the Ten Commandments in tablet. This is something that you can change at any time.
Okay, so that is helpful because that means I don't necessarily have to create up two campaigns. I can create up one campaign and switch them as I start to see traction one way or the other.
Exactly.
All right. Now it says daily budget. Okay. Talk to me about the daily budget because again, being the client that knows everything, I'm cheap as well. Okay. So tell me about the daily budget. Again, using my hypothetical $500,000 test range.
Okay. So with a daily budget, this is essentially asking you how much are you willing to spend per day? The minimum on LinkedIn is $10, but don't feel like that means that you have to spend at least $10 a day. You could pause the campaign halfway through the day after you've spent $5 if you want. This is just, it has to be over 10 in order for them to start showing ads. But whatever you're comfortable with. So, you know, if I open my calculator here, if I know I want to spend a total of $500 and that's going over the month, so 30.4 on average days, that means that I'm going to spend a total of $16.45 per day. So if I'm only creating one campaign and I want this to run for an entire month, I can set this right at $16.45 and, you know, by the end of the month, come in right at budget.
What is something, and here's the thing that I think a lot of people forget about when it comes to advertising in general. You definitely need a good size test budget. And I don't care what platform you use, right? I don't care if you're using Facebook. I mean, it doesn't matter. You really need to allocate dollars for testing, knowing that there may be no return immediately from that spend. So what is your general guideline for a test? I mean, again, using our hypothetical, selling writing services to attorneys in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, what should I really be thinking about with that 14,000, 16,000, you know, universe of people? Is $50 a day too little, too much, right in the sweet spot? I mean, give me kind of what your thinking is or your recommendation. Again, realizing, you know, I'm cheap.
Yeah. So this turns into a statistics lesson more than an advertising lesson at this point. I don't care if you spend $1 a day or $100,000 in a day. That doesn't matter to me. What matters is when we go to look at this, do I have enough data to make any decision I make statistically valid?
Right.
And so that means, you know, if you're spending $10 a day, for instance, it might take 2 months of advertising before I can come to you and say, hey, this is statistically valid. You have a 4% conversion rate on your landing page and you know, your cost per click is going to be $4.50 or whatever that looks like.
So if you increase your budget up, meaning your daily spend up a little bit higher, you may be able to get to those statistically relevant facts sooner, right?
Exactly.
Than if you set it lower. So again, it's all about your timing, if you will, of what it matters. And also, by the way, points out that you better have analytics on that damn landing page.
Because, so true.
So, I mean, obviously, you know, sometimes as marketers, we kind of forget, you know, to mention the basics. But yes, when you're setting everything up, especially on that landing page, on the site that you have in general, better have good Google Analytics and definitely be tracking conversions as people fill in that form to go to the next step. All right.
Yes. Very important, especially because LinkedIn does not have conversion tracking at this point. So if you're not tracking it with Google Analytics or Omniture or whatever you have, you're not going to know what the progress is, and you're not going to be able to attribute the leads that you get to the spend. And so LinkedIn might look like it's a dog when it's really successful, or it might look great. And anyway.
Gotcha. Yeah. I got it. All right. So let's go to start date, because here's something else. I know it sets to immediate, but I think that's actually wrong, because here's why. All the stats I've seen on LinkedIn is a weekday consumption. Right?
Yes.
So I would, my thinking is I should start it on maybe a Tuesday, right? I figure Monday is a terrible day. Everybody's getting in the office. Tuesday through Thursday tends to be a better time period. Any recommendations on start time?
Yeah. So, you know, first of all, whatever date you decide to start, that means that you also have to, like, if you're going to do what's called day parting, if you're going to say, I only want this to show Monday through Friday, for instance, there are tools out there. There's actually a tool called AdStage. If you go to adstage.io, they're essentially a power tool for advertisers, and they're the only advertising platform out there that has access to LinkedIn. So they're kind of like my power tool. And so you can set a rule that says, I only want to show my ads Monday through Friday, and it will pause midnight on Friday, and it will unpause, you know, Monday at midnight.
Nice.
So you have that ability. But yeah, for when you start, Tuesday is actually the biggest day for LinkedIn ads. When you are running totally uncapped and you're telling LinkedIn, I will take any impression, any click that you're willing to give me because I just have masses of money. When you tell them that, your Tuesday is going to be the biggest day of the week, followed by Monday, followed by Wednesday. So those first 3 days of the week are pretty strong. And I love launching during the strong days.
Yeah. Now let's go back, because this is something else that you mentioned. There's not really ability, you know, I know that in Google you can really fine tune, right? Who sees, when sees, et cetera. And that tool that you mentioned, that's pretty much the only time, only tool that you know of that can really be very specific in when this ad is running, when it's not, because LinkedIn doesn't have that built in by default, correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. If you want tight control of that, you're using a third-party tool.
Gotcha. Okay. So this is really, using LinkedIn, this is kind of the beginner element, if you will, the beginning stage of testing out, et cetera. And as your ad spend increases, certainly looking at other tools to augment this to make it more granular and fine-tuned is something you'll have to consider as you're looking at LinkedIn-sponsored updates. Fair enough?
Absolutely fair.
Okay, so end date, obviously it runs indefinitely potentially or a specific time period, but then it doesn't matter. You could set it for the next 90 days, but once it hits that budget, which is the final option there, total budget, once your budget is reached, it turns off, correct?
Yeah, so I would caution against these last two options, the end date and the total budget. The reason why is because if you put something in there, if you put an end date or a total budget, when you hit that area, that campaign dies. I don't know why they created it like this, but the campaign, you can never turn it back on. You can never launch a new ad into it. Nothing. It's dead. So I prefer not to use these. What I prefer to do is set a date on my calendar or set a rule in AdStage that says, when you hit this date or this budget, pause the campaign, and then I will come back and launch something new into it when I'm ready. And I'll know that it's the end of a campaign, but it's sad when you have a great campaign that you're earning all this trust from LinkedIn and then it's dead and you can never use it again.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice. So basically leave it open-ended. Don't set an end date on it and don't set a total budget on it. But if you do that, then you better come back in and turn that thing off or your credit card bill is going to look very interesting at the end of every month. And let's talk about that too, because again, you know, I know that from advertising, the bigger the budget, trust me, you get a dedicated LinkedIn account rep, and, you know, maybe they'll fly you to the Super Bowl. But of course, you know, for most of us, we're not spending that type of money, which is after we go through and set up our CPC versus CPM, then we're presented with a screen that talks about payment, right?
Yes.
And so it says, hey, your campaign's ready to go. You're using CPC, CPM. It's regurgitating up the things for you. And then, of course, it asks you for that credit card, hopefully with unlimited spend. But more reality is you're going to hit your cap, and that's why your budget really does matter. Anything on this screen when it comes down to getting that order ready to be placed?
Yeah, so a couple things here that are interesting. First of all, when you put in your credit card, it's going to be annoying for a little while. You're going to put in your credit card, and your credit card is going to be charged every $500 you spend. If you're spending, you know, if you have a big day and you spend $1,500, you're going to see three credit card charges that day. They set that limit so that they can charge you and make sure that they're getting money when they need to. As you start to spend more, you can ask that limit be raised, or you could, you know, you have to be spending quite a bit, but you get put over onto invoicing, and then your credit card isn't being hit quite as often. So that's helpful to understand. But just be aware that when you very first start up, you're going to be paying $500, or, you know, you're going to be getting charged in $500 increments, which your accountant's going to hate you for.
It's right. Just,
you're going to.
And as the CFO who manages the credit card, trust me, I appreciate that statement. What talks exactly. to me about coupon code, because, you know, I've seen other networks do this, right? Where like Yelp or somebody will send you, hey, spend $100, the first thing, blah, 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 with us on our ad network. Coupon codes, generally, do they send them to you? Can you ask them for one? I mean, you know, I want to try to give our audience something of value. And, you know, I figure since everybody in the world seems to be giving out $100, you know, advertising credit for Google or Yelp, et cetera, anything out there that you've seen to get a little coupon or something to decrease that first buy?
Man, I wish. I've been lobbying for this for years. I want access to have these codes generated. The fact is, these codes are being generated by a team who is not on the ads team, and the ads team doesn't know how to get in touch with these people or, you know, whatever that is.
Or they won't tell you how.
Yeah, they're super stingy with their codes. They give them out like candy. If you're a LinkedIn member and you're a business, you'll have emails coming to you like crazy, but because I have 100 ad accounts sure. associated to my personal user, I've never seen one.
But this is important though, because you should be yep. checking your inbox, because if you've been using LinkedIn and use it fairly aggressively, meaning on a frequent basis, you're checking, you're publishing, et cetera, you probably will have a coupon code sent to you. Another idea, you know, I know our good friend Jason Miller, who runs the Sophisticated Marketer podcast, you know, I'm sure that when you sign up for his list, it'll be in there. I wouldn't be surprised if you download some of their free white papers where they ask you to fill in the form with your LinkedIn profile. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if that by signing up for these LinkedIn specific marketing vehicles that you wouldn't at some point get that coupon code, especially maybe after you start playing around with your company page more too, right? So
yeah.
I tend to think the coupons are probably based on activity and engagement, and they really want to get you into the ad network. So go ahead and sign up for these things. I mean, if you're going to be on LinkedIn, you might as well get information, and signing up on the list may end up getting you a coupon code.
Yep. So, and let's see if Jason will send us something.
Yeah, I know. Boy, the only problem is he knows how big my audience is, so I guarantee you he will not give me a coupon code.
Dang it. Maybe privately.
There you go. All right. So anything else? Because, you know, really the last step it looks like is to review your order, right? Is you put in your credit card details and then you review your order to confirm the send, correct?
Yes. And the one thing to keep in mind here is that if you're opening an account for the first time, you're going to get charged a one-time $5 fee. This seems kind of strange to me that, hey, we want to give you money, LinkedIn, and okay, pay us $5 so that you can give us more money here in the next few weeks. Mm-hmm. But anyway, that's what they did to keep people from creating, I don't know, accounts that don't spend or something,
okay.
Research accounts, whatever that is. But yeah, anyway, be aware, they're going to charge you $5 and just eat it.
Okay, so I've got my campaign out into the wild. Whatever the begin date is, maybe I set it immediately, whatever, it is now out into the wild. So let's pull back and tell me what is happening to my audience, the target that I've specified that I spent all this time working on. Tell me what they're going to be seeing, how they're going to be seeing it.
Great. Well, very first off, I'll cover it from an advertiser side. Once you submit that order, they have your credit card, your account is ready to go. You're going to be backed up to your dashboard, and your dashboard is going to list all of your campaigns. In this case, we only have one campaign. It's these lawyers in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And so when you click on that audience, first of all, you can see that audience, its performance. If it's run at all, you'll see its impressions, its clicks, its spend, engagement rate, all that. But when you click on that, inside, you'll see any ads that you've created. Now, for this example, we haven't created any ads yet, so there won't be anything there. But you can then go and click on the ads tab and go and do create new sponsored content. And this is where you get to create new ads that go in. When you click create new sponsored content, you're automatically creating a direct sponsored content, which is that ad unit that doesn't show up on your company page. So you can create as many of these as you want and not have to worry about spamming your audience.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. So now we cover from a consumer point of view. If you are a lawyer in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, when you go on LinkedIn, if you open up the app or you just surf to linkedin.com, the very first thing you're going to see is obviously your feed. The second item in your feed is going to say sponsored. So everyone can do that now, and you can see what these sponsored updates look like. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm looking at one for Microsoft about detecting cybercrime. When I see this ad, I can choose to scroll past it or interact with it. But that's how these look. They're on your app. They're on your desktop. If you log on and you're being targeted, you have the ability to see that ad.
Okay, so let's back up for a second, because let's go back. And when we set up our campaign, we were either CPC or CPM. The fact that you just saw that ad from Microsoft mm-hmm. means that if they were on an impression basis, you counted as an impression, correct?
Exactly. Yep, and they got charged a very small amount for that if they're on impression.
Gotcha.
If they're by click, they haven't paid anything until I click.
Understood. Okay, so it is in the news feed. It will clearly delineate itself as sponsored. It will be something that is costing the advertiser either the impression, i.e. you saw it, or if you go in and click it, it'll cost them some money. And again, given how much these things are, it can be expensive. However, but there is more to the equation that we haven't talked about, because now I've seen the ad, I've clicked on it, or I've seen it in as an advertiser, I have my campaign monitoring, right? And I can start to see those impressions. I can start to see those clicks, correct?
Yes.
And I can see them over time, and I can see them by demographics. So I can see if the ad is resonating with one group versus the other, correct?
Yeah. And I would say, one of the things that you can look at when you're inside the campaign, you have that ability to see click demographics, like you were just mentioning. Click demographics are really cool. You can break down the people who viewed the ad. These are impressions. They're clicks. They're by click. So I can see, for this campaign that I'm, arbitrarily looking at here, 36% of my audience have a marketing job function, 26.4 have an entrepreneurship job function. So that's interesting. I can see by title, by company, industry, by location, seniority, and company size. All that is interesting. But I will tell you, we defined this campaign pretty narrowly, and there isn't a whole lot demographically that we really need to see. We've defined a very specific geography. We've defined who these people are. They are attorneys. And so this click demographics for this campaign is going to be very boring, and I like that. I like it being very cut and dry, exactly who we're talking to. And so if I'm gaining insights from this click demographics piece that they give me, that tells me I didn't make my campaign narrow enough.
And I also love that they are keeping track of social actions for free. Right. So if people are sharing your content, it shows up as social actions. Right.
Exactly.
I think you're right. I think when you go onto click demographics and you see the top part, if you've done your targeting right, there should be no surprises there. But what's interesting is below, it is showing your performance, your impressions, your click through rates. That way you can test, am I getting cheaper clicks by doing CPM? Right. Or am I getting better impressions by doing CPC? And then, of course, the social actions. Is my content resonating with the audience so they feel the need to share it and it costs me nothing? Another great little feature of that. And of course, all this stuff is downloadable, right?
Yeah. And when LinkedIn is Well, obviously, LinkedIn wants people to spend more time on the platform. And so because of that, they're doing the opposite of what Facebook is, where they're cutting down the newsfeed and showing you less. They're trying to show you more. They're showing you when people like things, when they comment on them, when they follow new companies, things like that. And so those social actions do reach very large audiences. So very helpful from an advertising perspective.
In the limited time that we have left, and again, this has been a fascinating series, AJ. I cannot thank you enough for guiding us on this, especially given the fact that I know everything. Now I know everything and plus some, and now it's all my idea. So I am the perfect client. So now I want to talk about how to amplify your results. And this is something that I think is the missing piece. I constantly hear LinkedIn ads are just too damn expensive. And I'll grant you that. However, you can drive cost way low, if you do one simple thing to add into your campaign, which is remarketing. By putting remarketing code on that landing page, so that in using AdRoll or using the directly from Google, from Facebook, from Twitter, et cetera, I have seen so many examples where by adding in remarketing or retargeting or whatever the name du jour is, you can sit there and continue to show your ad to those people on different social networks and different websites, driving them back to that landing page. They cost you whatever it did in clicks and impressions. AJ, what do you think of that?
Yes. So thank you. Retargeting is so crucial for advertisers. I mean, if you're thinking about paying $6 for, you know, someone from your dream demographic to come and visit your site, it is a huge waste to let those $6 people come and then bounce. When you can cookie them through some other retargeting platform, my favorite mix is AdWords, Facebook, and Twitter retargeting all stacked on top of each other. Mm-hmm. That way, it doesn't matter where they go, they're seeing you. And you're getting this traffic for pennies. So yeah, of course, LinkedIn is expensive. It's a premium ad network. There's no explaining around it. But if you pay $6 to get someone there, and then you're paying 30 cents every time they interact with you, and now they're more and more likely to interact with you again and fill out a form and follow you socially and build your brand, it's a huge waste not to take advantage of retargeting.
Absolutely, because while it is an incremental ad spend, it is improving the call, the response rate, the number of people that are filling out that call to action. And so your overall cost, you're not just spending $6.50 and losing them, you're spending $6.80 and potentially gaining them. And that, again, goes back to those metrics when you establish this up, is to kind of look at what are those response rates, what are those click-throughs, what are those impressions, constantly fine-tuning, constantly monitoring to get that optimal mix. And that would be a subject for a whole other show, AJ, which we don't have time to do. AJ Wilcox, thank you for your brilliance, your insight, your help. And by all means, please go to our LinkedIn group and on this episode, ask any comments you want of AJ. He is here to help you, because God knows, even though I know everything, I can't tell you anything to do.
And let me just add, don't feel like you're being an imposition by asking something and you know, asking for an answer from one of us. I love geeking out just as much as the next guy. So it's not an imposition at all. I would love to see your comments and questions. And you know, even if it takes me a day or two to get to them, I would love to respond.
Well, that's been another episode of The Missing Link, and very exciting series, don't you think, Micah?
Absolutely. Thank you, AJ, for your wisdom.
Thanks so much for having me on.
All right, everyone, and we'll catch you on the next episode of The Missing Link.
You have just experienced The Missing Link exclusively on Rainmaker.fm.